Hello, I'm Nanadra.
Hi, I'm Abnam.
And we're two hearts in a pod.
Okay, Abnam. Qu'est-ce qui se passe? What are we doing today?
We're just talking about reverse harem.
Yes. So, by getting right into it, why I was talking about a book by Annika Martin. I said that she had tricked me into reading a reverse harem. And Abna, you said...
They say, don't ask me who they are, the police of political correctness say that we should not say reverse harem because that is sexist. I've forgotten the exact words, but basically they are trying to say it should be gender neutral, should be devoid of gender stereotypes. So we should say harem. And then you were saying...
I was saying that is historically, harem has historically referred to a man with multiple female sexual partners. Mm-hmm. That has been the thing the longest time. I remember reading a book, maybe it was an Indian book. Did we discuss this book a long time ago where the man had many wives and they called it a harem, and it wasn't even a sexual way, it was just these are realistically his number of wives, and his wives were his harem. So I've always known the word harem to mean a man with multiple partners, female partners. And so if a woman has multiple partners, I guess it makes sense to connote that the sex or the gender has changed to say reverse harem. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, if you say, oh, it's a harem romance, immediately what comes to mind is it's a man with multiple sexual partners.
Yeah.
Which often people want nothing to do with. Reverse harem, however.
Yeah, it has a lot of fans.
Exactly.
So, I don't get it, but.
Because a lot of people who read romance are women, and women like to fantasize about the things they want. Maybe women want multiple partners at once.
So confusing. I remember how.
I believe is what they call it.
Every hole.
Lord.
Remember that Alicia Rai book?
Mm.
Aren't you the one who
suggested
it to me? You hadn't read it yourself.
I hadn't read it. I was just looking at her backlist because I had read those three books, The Swipe Left and those ones, The Girl Gone Viral and those things. Like those three, three books.
I have one
You
here.
Have a few, yes.
Let me pull it out.
Yeah, so I had read those and I thought, oh, Anita Rai is great. Let's read more. There it is, Girl Gone Viral.
First Comes Like.
Oh, Girl Gone Viral is the second one. I think First Comes Like is the third, which is actually Closed Door, if I remember, because she's Muslim and he's Muslim. So it's a Muslim couple who only have sex when
they're married. Hey! Look at how innocent
so this
looks.
Book is actually fine.
Hey! So that is why when you suggested it, I thought, oh, Alicia Rai, dear, she only does Closed Door or Slow Burn.
Hey! And
it was twins.
I found that one is so weird to me.
And like, they immediately, and I feel like the thing with harem, reverse harem, there's no way it cannot be sexual.
Yeah, like, no.
The sexual aspect is a very important aspect.
Yeah. In fact, somehow the emotions come second.
Yes.
The emotions are what surprise me because it's like, how are you both able to invest this level of emotion in this one person and are happy that she has the same level of emotion for each of you? Like, you're happy to share her.
And they're twins.
That is so ox for me because you're, like, you're siblings.
Why do you want to share?
And be present during your brother's orgasm. It's just really weird.
But you know, for twins, maybe I can understand because
she's a woman.
I was telling my sister that they were practically the same person who just happened to be split into two. But if it's two different people,
like friends, best friends,
roommates, best friends, brothers, one woman
at the same time, at different times, sure, maybe, yeah. You're happy to just know that you're sitting with the same woman.
And honestly, I think I need to speak to some of those who enjoy this and ask, what about it is exciting?
The woman's pleasure.
To you. Isn't that so overwhelming? Isn't too much going on? Like, at a point, you won't be able to even tell who is in me.
And that's the joy of it. The surprise. The mystery.
Oh, who's that?
Who's that?
Oh, but your face is here. So whose foot is that?
Ooh, what did I just feel? Who was that? of the entire process.
Me, my whole worry about that thing is there is definitely going to be, and I can't say this, that's the one thing I can't say.
Why not? I'm surprised, Abena.
The butthole will be involved. And that thing is so traumatizing for me. Like, the whole idea of that.
Look, no, Ghanaians, at some point, Obia has gotten bent on the bum. It's medicinal. It's fine. It helps you be a better human being. Built your character.
Hey, no, but you know, have you people understood why I in particular needed that?
Why? Constipation.
And why was I getting constipated?
What were you eating or not eating?
I love eating hard food.
Bread?
Look,
too much bread?
My grandma. No, not even bread. Kiliwili, I like it hard.
Your stomach was constantly in terror.
So plantain chips. No, you know, I love plantain.
Yes.
Look, no my fiber. Grandma, you know, Sundays, we used to make jollof. She would specifically give them instructions that make they shouldn't, soft. No, they shouldn't throw the kanzo away. She'll scrape it and put it into a bowl for me. Let when me I close.
The girl. Same.
Girl. Same.
Especially like the one that the sun has set and risen on.
Ah.
Kanzo are the ashes.
Girl. High five. So my grandma used to specific, so she will contribute to it, and then she will chase me with bento.
Okay, so it's intricately interwoven with yes. joy and pain for you.
You know, people say it's sweet pain.
That it's sweet pain.
I don't want.
So I mean, I think that when I imagine it happening to myself, it sounds horribly uncomfortable.
Yes.
But somehow, somebody yes. else enjoying it is perfectly welcome. I'm like, okay, you do you.
And it sounds so messy.
You see, nobody writes about that, though.
How did we even end up starting this episode with this?
Yeah, sorry to just drop you in the middle of the reverse harem and the anal sex. Just go with it.
Hey! Human beings now.
We're talking about reverse harem.
Yes. And then I was like...
Right, was... And then the horrible logistics of
so
it.
So once I realized what was happening, I did attempt, but after the first sex scene, right? Yes. Yeah. I can't remember the title.
Early in the beginning.
Yes, because they came onto her. She was a chef, I think.
Yes, at a restaurant.
Yeah. And they came onto her in the restaurant. She was very confused, flustered, but turned on as yeah. well.
And the next thing you know, she's agreed to have sex with the two of them. They didn't ease her into it. She just kind of came on and bang, bang, bang.
Wow.
So yeah, I couldn't finish that book. And I think also because, you know, I need a good story behind it. And the sex has to be
plain, secondary yes.
plain, like the background to it.
Yeah.
And with that story, it felt very much like the sex was the center of
yes,
it.
Yes,
so
yes.
So I wasn't loving it. And I've seen, obviously, those are her old books. Alicia has, you know, we've seen that she's grown.
Like, how? Is she planning to still write them? Like, has anybody interviewed her about those books?
I do wonder.
I think back to that book and I look at this with the innocent cartoons.
This
with the girl in her hijab.
The sex in it, but so... Like, it's not closed door, but it's like nice and
very wholesome.
It's one person, you know,
like you can let your grandma read it.
Yes, if your grandma liked it like that, you know, so it's kind of like that. It's very nice and like wholesome. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I think the right swipe is the first one.
I had that as well. I think
and I
right
think if I'm remembering correctly, the character from the right swipe, she first gets mentioned in one of those old books.
Ah,
I think so, if I'm remembering correctly.
I see.
So it was like a universe that she's clearly building, which is great. But Alicia, obviously, she threw us off.
Hey.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Now that that's over, what are we talking about today, Abna?
So earlier this week, we had a number of things to talk about. That Nora Roberts interview, I think, was in the New York Times.
Yes, tell me about that. I didn't read all of it, but I think I got the gist of it.
Yeah, so, you know, some of the parts that really stood out for me, and I think others in the book club, was the fact that even the interviewer was like, she used to read Nora Roberts under the covers when she was in, like, junior high or something. And we're like, hey, so everybody...
We had the same childhood.
And it's like, Nora Roberts is, you know, any romance reader, or even, you know, when you're younger, you don't have as much access or choice in what you read unless you have access to a library or something. So any book you grab, you read.
Yeah.
So that's how come I think we're reading more genres when we're younger.
True, until we discovered that romance is the best.
We are honing in on this one. Yeah, you're right. Because we read whatever we could get. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people, even those who don't read romance lately, if you ask them, they'll tell you they read Nora Roberts at some point.
As well.
And then another thing too was how she said, I think a fellow romance writer plagiarized her, and what, you know, she took from that, you know, she wasn't, of course, she took it to court and all that, but one thing that stood out for her was the fact that people were, you know, so excited about the fact that two romance writers are in a tiff.
Oh.
You know, we're talking about the fact that it's like people are always waiting to prove that women can't do things together. Like women can't cohabit in the same space and, you know,
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. And also the fact, what we are always talking about on this podcast, how people deride the romance genre.
Yeah.
And she was like, you know, she didn't care. People were talking about the fact, you know, they look down on the genre. Meanwhile, it's the top selling genre.
It's crazy to me why everybody isn't writing.
It's
romance.
A multi-million. It's, but the fact is, like, I feel like when men find that they can't easily penetrate. A space.
We know men and penetration.
When they can't do that, they get frustrated and, you know,
deride it. Like sour grapes. It's not that good after all.
So, but you know, recently I saw, you know, this romance book festival in, I think it was held in California or something. Steamy LitCon.
Yeah, I saw that.
They're already planning for next year.
Barely ended.
And I saw male writers. But you know, when I see male romance writers, a lot of the time, you realize that they are probably gay. It would be interesting to see if there's a
straight male romance writer.
Yeah, that'd be very interesting.
See their stories. I generally, as a rule, as you know, I don't read men. Only because, I should clarify, because I read a lot of romance.
Yeah, you tend to read women. Yeah.
But if I see a man that has written a romance book, I'm just not interested in what, like, a man's perspective of love looks like. It's just not something that is really interesting to me personally. I'm happy to be proven wrong. If somebody can find a romance written by a man where the woman doesn't breast bubbly down the steps. And, you know, it's, you see some of these excerpts of men writing romance and it's just like, you guys don't get it. And I don't know how you're living in this romantic world.
Like, men in particular need sensitivity readers.
Yeah.
When they are writing.
Like, any man that wants to write romance, just ask me nicely. I'll read your book and tell you why you shouldn't publish it. So, generally, I wouldn't even know male romance writers. Maybe what you need to do is write under a pseudonym. And trick me.
yeah, honestly.
Because women do that all the time.
What if there are some men writing as women and we don't know?
Then they've done really well.
Because you know there are some authors who don't show their photos on social
just, like,
media.
RL something.
Yes.
I will be so impressed if I discover that a writer whose work I enjoy is actually a man writing under a pseudonym. Like, I will hail them because it means that They are doing a very good job if they manage to get us to read their books without ever questioning it.
Like
how sometimes, you know, how women don't always hit the right notes when they write male characters. So you can always tell when it's a woman. Is this not a man?
Yeah.
If a man manages to hide under, you know, flew under the radar, I'm impressed and I want to know who they are and how they did it.
Yeah. Wow.
That'd be so cool.
Yeah.
Because women are always doing it. Women write under male-sounding pseudonyms a lot because for the longest time, you won't get published.
But you know what I find interesting? There are some authors, but I guess it makes sense. You know Nora Roberts writes as J.D. Robb as well. And they'll write it on the book.
Yeah,
Nora Roberts writing as J.D. Robb.
This is J.D.
But
Robb.
I think usually they do that when the author already has success.
And, yeah, so that you will keep buying this book.
Uh-huh.
And maybe they're writing a different genre now.
Uh-huh.
Kind of like
J.K. Rowling.
With Robert Galbraith.
Yeah. And I'm like,
I like Robert Galbraith's books too.
Oh, you read
it? I read one of them. There's one that has been adapted into a movie or into a show.
Mm.
Cormoran something.
I see.
I enjoyed that book.
I remember when that first one came out, there was a lot of noise about it. People were like, can she? And then it was still, you know, a bestseller, I think.
Because she's known for, I guess, the Harry Potter world. Uh-huh. And that's literally all she's ever written.
Yeah.
If she writes under something else, under her own name, people will just be expecting the same
thing. Yes. So it makes sense
Makes sense.
Yeah, to make a completely new.
Like when you and I write our nonfiction, I have to convince people that we are upstanding nonfiction writers.
Serious minded.
Don't come for us. No Kelly Willy in this one.
Oh, now you've told them. Well, how would they know that?
We can a pseudonym, no pictures. Probably be Pammy Menu. Something serious like that. PhD at the end.
Honestly,
watch out for coming in the PhD.
Hey. Anyway, so we have some physical books here. One of our favorite people in the world got us books.
Woo-hoo, book mail.
And since we are filming this, we thought we'd show it off.
Cheers. Let's clank books.
So yeah, so you said you actually read this not long ago.
Yeah, but you read King of Pride as well.
I've read it too.
Yes, we read that earlier this year.
You know, just yesterday I have King of Greed in my
Kindle
library, mm-hmm. and I was contemplating reading it, but right now I'm on a Black Christmas romance mm-hmm. book binge, mm-hmm. so I don't really want to break that. So maybe it will go into next year.
King of Greed. So once again, I won't spoil it for you. I'll tell you how I feel about it, even if you beg me right now to tell you. Like, I won't tell you. Just so you know. Like, don't ask.
I won't ask.
Like, I'm just letting you know that you won't. I won't tell you when you ask me.
I believe
to tell
you.
My feelings about this book.
I believe
why I enjoyed it or not. Just so you know, I'm not gonna tell you. So just don't even bother yourself.
I'm not asking. It's okay.
Just making sure that I've been clear on like my boundary.
I forgot you had read a crap.
Yes, I read it.
I'm sure you read it the day it came out.
No, 2 days later. But I have self-control, okay?
2 days later.
Sheesh.
2 whole days.
Yeah, 48 whole hours. So I started reading. No, not started. I finished this book last month. Mm. Forget Me Not by Julie Soto. The first time I saw it on Instagram, I read the blurb and I was just like, yeah, I'm keen. I think this was not the cover I saw, though. Mm. It's probably a European cover. I must have seen an American cover.
I always prefer the British covers.
Me too, actually, all the time. Always. So I read this. Loved it so much. It's a grumpy sunshine, second chance type thing.
Mm.
Really good. He falls first, he falls hard. It's hitting all the notes for me. So I enjoyed it so much. I'm very grateful for our lovely Vanessa for getting this for me.
Our third heart in the pot.
Yeah. And the girl's name is Amma, but it's not like Ghana Amma. It's short form for something else. At first I thought it was Ghana Amma, so I was keen. But it's like Amma.
That's so cool.
Really cool.
Hey, she broke his heart.
Yeah, girl. Fave.
Then I have to read it.
Yeah, you have to. But he keeps coming back for more. You understand?
He loves pain.
He loves it. Look at his one meeting it out. He'll take it.
Wow.
It's so good.
But are they Filipino or something?
She is. Oh, her name is Torres. I think she's Hispanic.
So she's Hispanic.
But he's clearly white.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
You will enjoy it when you do read it.
Mm.
Ali Hazelwood loved every second of it. I know that sways you anyway. Just letting you
know. Oh, but you know, I enjoyed love. You know, I don't get
the Ali
human hates. Beings. Nah, you know how people hate on Taylor Swift, people hate on Ali Hazelwood. Do you hate on her? Not necessarily. Openly.
I'm not like a rabid hater of Taylor Swift or anything. I
feel like you should admire someone who has been so successful, even if you don't like what they are doing.
That's true. And consistent.
Yeah. You don't have to consume their art. Just admire them from afar or hate them from afar. Mm-hmm. But you'll find people openly hating, you know. I don't get that. I mean, when you think about the race aspect of it, yes, there is a certain level of privilege that a lot of white artists get that gives them a step up that other races don't get.
Yeah.
But there are also some white people who haven't hit
that way.
That well.
Uh-huh. And some black people who are maybe given the same opportunities are not able to sustain the kind of consistent success.
Mm-hmm.
And some who can. So really the admiration is valid. And
Because I'm like, imagine anybody openly hating Beyonce.
They exist and they get shut down fast.
Exactly.
Because the Beehive is not here for that.
Hey, you want Dell. But then the T-Swiss fans too.
The Swifties, they call themselves.
Yeah, the Swifties. They too, they'll shut you down. But
maybe the fans are also what grates me a little. T-Swiss fans are very...
Cultish?
Cultish, basic black, basic white girl vibes. And it's that kind of white woman, like, why are you... like wide-eyed innocence. I haven't done anything wrong. They're bullying me again, you know? It gives that vibe. And so I think that also puts me up a little bit.
Yeah. But I mean, I feel like, you know, even Beyonce, after that whole debacle with Kanye West. I think in another award show, Beyonce won an award and then she gave Taylor Swift the stage give her speech.
Women empowering other women.
Exactly. And I feel like Taylor Swift also works hard at her craft.
She does, absolutely.
Even if it's high school girls who love her music, allow them. Look, everybody deserves some happiness in the world.
Honestly, she's given some. Even if it's on the back of her heartbreak. Consistently. She's given Adele.
And you know, now they are followed because of her. T Swift fans have become, I think, baseball fans because she's dating
American football?
Is it American football?
Okay, yeah, so I don't American know. Sports are just big clubs.
It's all
basketball, they're just like a compilation of ball. Yes, but that guy, Travis Kelce or something.
Hey, you know his name.
It's consistently in my face.
Yes.
I don't know what he looks like.
Do you know why? Remember, I was like, it shocks me that, like, you should love Taylor Swift.
You keep saying.
It pains me that you don't.
I like her music. The teardrops on this guitar. I loved her music growing up. I don't have a problem with her music even now. I listen to them. I love her.
But you're just not.
I'm not a rabid fan. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm a fan of Black Sheriff.
Because you
know,
Nanajo is a walking contradiction.
I know, I love it.
Hey, like the way it shocks me. That day was when we were going for Peja. This girl opened her, like, she sparked the car, Black Sheriff Nelboy.
Constantly. Even as I was like on my way here, Black Sheriff. Flaconie.
And then she opened her Kindle and it's like small town romance. In a small town in
the tiniest town
in America,
a dot with five people living in the town.
Hey, walking contradiction. You can never peg her down. She keeps you guessing. You think you've got her in this box? Oh no, she's in that box.
So I shouldn't tell people that like patapa to me. That I was a very stoned patapa soldier back in the day. All right, we won't discuss it.
This woman confuses me. How is your husband surviving?
Oh, bless him. Well, quite well. We are discussing me going for a Black Cherry concert this Christmas.
I see doing one.
Yes, December 21st. Free ad. Flaco, give me free tickets. I'm doing ad for you. I'm tagging him in this podcast.
Because when I saw the Black Cherry song when we were writing Kelelo Kone, I was like, hey! Where is this from?
And you know what? The funny thing is, up until we went for the book club getaway May or April last year, I hadn't really paid attention to him before.
Mm-hmm.
It was when the person in the book club members kept singing it and rapping the song, that particular song. Pepe the Traveler.
Yes.
So and I heard the lyrics, and so I went to like now listen to the rest of his music. I was like, this guy is good.
He's deep.
He's, and I think I love nothing more than a man, a straight man that is able to be vulnerable and is not afraid of that affecting his masculinity. It's my kryptonite. I love it so much. And his music is deep. He's like, it's searching. It's talking about the human condition in the most. It's beautiful. Like, look, Black Sheriff is just great.
She's your number one fan, Black Sheriff.
Yeah, Black. So like, all I'm saying, 21st, I want VIP ticket. That's all I'm saying. Two, not one. Two. Carry on.
So I was going to say that I understand why T Swift keeps emerging in your face.
Because I'm reading the genre. That's true. Yeah, you're so right. I'm reading.
They read these books and they are listening to Taylor Swift and they're in heaven. They're in heaven, like it pairs so well.
You're right. Like you're right. It's the wine and cheese of romance land. It's Taylor and these small town romances.
Yes.
It's true. I have to admit. And they often don't make references, even when the book doesn't mention her at all. The author will mention her in the marketing.
Mm-hmm.
The rom-com, I read recently, Devin Daniels, loved it. Towards the end, she's talking about how the book is about, you know, bringing back the golden era of romance, of rom-com. Mm-hmm. I agree with. Mm-hmm. Also, the references are very much like early, mid-90s rom-coms, How to Get Away With, no, not that. How to Lose a Guy
in 10 days.
You've Got Mail.
Yes.
You know, those ones.
Blessings, Seattle.
Yeah, so it was giving that vibe and I loved it so much.
Mm.
In her marketing, so Taylor doesn't come in at all because she was too young to have been important at that time.
Mm-mm.
Now, in her marketing, she's writing and then mentioning Taylor Swift somewhere in the caption. Like, ma'am, you almost did it. You almost escaped the small town. So yes, I should like Taylor Swift and I don't dislike it. I just get tired of the constant comparisons and the
But you see, I told you that I went through my T-Swift era. I might bring it back.
Just don't become a Swiftie, like a rabid one with the t-shirt and the friendship bracelet.
I can't do it. I'm too old for that now.
You would think, Avena, you would think. Love Taylor Swift. She's great. Beautiful artist. Yeah. Great businesswoman. She's doing the damn thing. Mm-hmm. So good for him. I'm just not like a rabbit fan.
Yeah. So why did I open my Kindle and now look at where it has opened to?
Where has it opened to? Alternating between kissing, talking, joking, and reminiscing. We spend the rest of the ride enjoying
each other.
Hey, enjoying each other.
It's okay.
Abuna, what are you reading? Oh, like the Christian books I'm reading on my Kindle.
Anyway, so this is the book I finished reading just yesterday.
What's it called?
Spread Joy. Spread.
Yeah, I was gonna say
Joy.
It's a bit on the nose, guys. We all know it's not. It's her name, Joy.
Yes.
This is Jim and Holly all over again.
No, it doesn't reach that level. I gave this like 3 moku.
Moku. Hey, but Moku is a
lot too. You know, usually I give 3 to mean that the balance between that story and the story is good.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Spread Joy. Oh God.
3 is perfect for me. And it's a Christmas Eve hot holiday cup by Danielle Allen. I finished it in what? Like,
is it a novella?
Maybe 2 hours. Yeah, it's a novella. Mm-hmm. And you know, I was going to say this. I don't know if I announced this in the previous episode, but In fact, I'm going to make a t-shirt with it.
God, what is she going to do?
I am a proud, savory reader. Not a slow reader. Savory.
Is that what you're calling it?
Yes. We like to savor our books.
Sure.
Please.
How many books have you savored this
Please,
year?
Please, Speedy Gonzalez. Speedy Gonzalez.
How many books have you savored this year?
Speedy Gonzalez. Don't judge me, please. So, I have come to realize, and actually yesterday I posted it on my TikTok story that I've been feeling overwhelmed. You know, I spend a lot of time on social media, and actually just yesterday I was telling my sister that from now on, between 3 and
3 p.m.
I like doing drastic things.
I'm sure by you. I come to make a boundary that will stress everybody else again. 3 p.m. and it's midnight.
And 8.
You won't go on your...
On my phone.
At all.
Yes.
What were you doing instead? Spend time with
Read on my Kindle and spend time with the kids. Yesterday, I survived till about 5.
2 hours. That's
so baby steps. Because I realized that, you know, for you, because you read fast, even if you see these recommendations,
I won't distract.
Oh, you can finish the one you are reading that day and move fair on enough, to the next one.
Okay, so.
Me, it makes me pause. I have at least 3 books that I'm halfway through.
Oh, okay. So you need to stop. Uh-huh.
So now I've decided that, especially in this season, I'm reading more novellas.
You get through them faster.
Yeah.
You savor them faster.
Uh-huh. Mm. And then I realize that, you know, that thing that we discussed. Oh, someone asked me for the article. I still can't find the article.
I might have it.
Uh-huh. So I send it to me. How social media is, you know, affecting our reading habits. Like, you know, I'm glad I've gotten out of the chokehold of book buying.
Mm-hmm.
Hey! Because it was bad before. But anyway, so I realized that I would always feel guilty or bad when I don't finish a book and then I move on to another one. But when I'm reading novellas, I'm less likely to DNF.
Right.
And by DNF, I don't even mean that I wasn't enjoying it all.
Is there something else got your attention?
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to try to be more disciplined in my reading. Yes.
So I've been spread joy.
Spread poor joy. Spread.
I guess Joy is happy with it.
She was very happy. Very, very happy.
This is black romance.
Yes, yeah, by Daniel Allen. Yeah.
Okay.
And it's a second chance romance.
Okay.
It's 2 former high school sweethearts. They go to the same college, but they sort of go on different paths. And so they don't really run into each other. They finish college. And then I think the Christmas after they graduate, they both end up signing up to volunteer as alumni to
their high school.
To give gifts. No, alumni of their college, I think. Okay. Hey, actually, you're right. I have to check if it was the high school or the college.
Madam, save you.
Yeah. But anyway, so they end up signing up and then they show up and realize, you know, both of
them.
They're like, hey, you're here. That's and cool. So they have to spend the day together. And I love that she used that as, you know, it made sense that they could rekindle what they had in such a short space of time. Because they were together from morning till like midnight in a bus.
Ah, perfect.
Uh-huh. And then they went off to deliver gifts to kids in the hospital. They went to give food to homeless people. Then they went to, at the end of the night, they went caroling. But they didn't carol. They went to hide somewhere.
Naturally.
And did things.
To spread joy.
Yes.
Yeah.
And,
quite apart.
And I really love that play on words. Eh? Mm-hmm. When I got to that part, the book actually ended there. And I was like, Daniel.
That's really cool. That's really cool.
Yeah, so I enjoy that.
And I like that it's such a believable way to get that second chance.
Yeah. So they cleared up any miscommunication they had that had kept them from even being friends in college.
Mm-hmm.
It was really good. And it's not like it ended with a marriage proposal. It just ended with them coming back together. And,
yeah, know. Coming together.
Oh. But of course. She's the rotten one.
I beg to differ.
Mm. With the innocent face.
That is true.
Anyway, so before that, I read A Dash of Christmas Magic. And that's also a novella by Shay Davis. And yeah,
Shae.
No, that's Shay Sanders.
Ah, okay.
She wrote The Replacements.
Mm-hmm.
This is Shay Davis. Me too. Initially, when I saw the name, I thought it was the same person, and then I realized that it was 2 different people. But so this one is very funny and cute. So this one has a single mom who has come to her hometown for Christmas because her parents want to spend time with their grandchild.
Mm-hmm.
But the small town, they are very judgmental because she had the kid as a teenager.
Yeah, okay.
And
have
because
done over it?
small town.
My people.
This is the most excitement they'll get. And she ends up meeting this guy who is also in town to help his sister because she's going through a terrible divorce. Her husband is so messy, God. Her husband was cheating, got the other woman pregnant, and then his parents took this woman in with the child.
Oh, why did she not have kids with him?
She did. She did have a kid.
It's given Nigerian film.
Hey! No, so you see why I love African American stories. The like parallels are the there. Parallels are there.
That's true.
Hey, so messy, but that's not even the messiest part.
Oh gosh.
So, you know the main character is a single mom.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what was her name? Let me open the book real quick and make sure. So the guy is Malachi. Oh,
okay.
The way they describe Malachi, he's so fine. And his sister is Melanie. So she's the one whose husband cheated and her in-laws took in the other woman.
They hate her like that.
Now, Sina. Hey, I feel like I'm pronouncing it wrong.
How's it spelled?
S-I-N-A-A. I feel
Sina.
Sina or something. Anyway, so, you know, she also has a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when they bump into, I think they bumped into Malachi with his niece.
Okay.
Zine. And Sina couldn't help noticing that Zine and her daughter look alike.
Oh gosh.
Can you guess?
Hang on. So, somehow, is her baby daddy also Malachi's ex-brother-in-law?
Yes.
This man does not keep his legs together.
No. No.
Oh,
no.
Lord. That makes it a bit of a conflation there.
Yeah.
Because now, his niece is sisters with his stepdaughter.
Yes.
So, are they both his daughters now?
Hey, when I got to that part, I was like, what? Hey, because but you know,
Troy Anka. Can you jump down my throat? Oh my God, it's doing a lot, but I think I like it. It keeps the family nice and close.
Hey. And you know what? What I love about actually this and then Spread Joy, they are both so short. But
so much happens.
But so much happens. And they don't leave anything hanging.
Mm-hmm.
Like anything that doesn't happen within is explained in a way that you know that, okay,
it's fine.
It happened mm-hmm. in the past or, you know, something. But everything, the plot was well wrapped up mm-hmm. in the end.
That's
like
good.
Like you don't feel like you're missing out on anything. And I realized that I'm a novella girly. I've been
Gasp.
Deceiving myself all this
Gasp.
Time. By competing with the... Novel girlies.
I'll say I'm a novella girlie. Do yeah. better.
But I really enjoyed this. I really enjoyed this. Hey, and you know, Sina hadn't been with a man for like what? What's it, 5 years?
Oh gosh.
So she was rabid.
Oh Lord.
But yeah, it was really good. And I love how, you know, a lot of these African American love stories, yes, it centers on the couple, but the family is very much a part of the mm-hmm. love story. Like, she was staying at her parents, so he had to go and pick her up from her parents' place, and he charmed her mom's socks off.
Yeah.
And you know, it was really nice. And Zine and Naomi, that's the two girls, they hit it
this
off
is
immediately.
The half sisters,
yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Crazy.
So eventually this, not the girl's, Sina's daughter
mm-hmm.
is also like her, not her stepmom really, but like her, I guess her sister's mother is also her aunt.
Yes.
There's a lot going on.
But the way she wrote it, it doesn't come across as messy at all. And I think because everybody was getting along, with the exception of the asshole.
Well, he's not really
and his parents.
Although he's kind of needed here, because he has to pay like take care of each of his children, who are currently both in Malachi's family.
Lord. But Malachi doesn't need him because he is rich.
That's right.
And from
That's
New right. York. Okay, you know? Okay. So
Malachi can just say, you know what, you can take care of my sister's daughter, but leave my new daughter out of it.
Yeah. Because you know the painful thing? He and his parents had nothing to do with Sinner's daughter at all.
When she got pregnant when she was younger.
Yeah.
So that means they could have done what they are doing for this new person with Sinner then, if they were still kids.
And she was even younger and she had to bear the brunt of, you know, the judgments from the entire town and awful people. And you know, the two girls are a year apart because apparently...
Huh?
Well, so they had just finished high school. He got her pregnant. So they went off to college.
One Tree Hill.
That's what happened there.
That's it's what happened. Tree Hill. Yes, so...
It's true.
Dan.
Got,
what's her name? The Lucas's mom. Pregnant.
Forgotten her name.
Oh, it's right there in my head.
Oh, was Lucas the blonde one?
Yes.
He married the dark haired one. Deb. Yes.
So Dan got Lucas. He was dating Karen the whole time in high school. She got pregnant. Then when he went off to uni, he met Deb and then got her pregnant like almost immediately. So by the time Lucas was born, a few months later, what's his name? Nathan was born.
Yeah.
But his family accepted Deb because I think Deb was richer. So he married Deb. And the whole town kind of scoffed at Karen and Lucas for the longest time. Lucas didn't, he could play basketball, but he didn't join the main basketball team. He was like living on the fringes of the town and his friends were all out. This is Van Tree Hill.
True.
I love Van Tree
Hill. Oh, I loved it all.
Yes. It's a small town, by the way.
I know.
Just so you know.
No, but you know, I love small town shows.
Yes, The OC, Dawson's Creek.
Oh, there was another show apart from One Tree Hill. There was Gilmore Girls.
When I say I love Gilmore Girls, I've watched the 7 seasons over and over. Love Gilmore Girls so much. Mm-hmm. So they won't do a small town Ghana show for us. This one, Things We Do for Love, was a small town. Or was Accra? Well, I guess it gave small town vibes just because of how small the community was.
Yeah, but the kids were all in different schools and stuff. And
I don't think they were the same school. So it was more of like we were neighbors, like... area boys, which I like so much. I love the concept of area boys and area girls just getting to know each other and, you know, everything. You know, there's a reboot, YOLO. It's a spin-off.
A spin-off?
Yes.
So, of Things You Do for Love. Oh, that show was so good.
It was so good. So good. And apparently the kids in YOLO are the kids of the kids from Things You Do for Love. So,
as in they are real kids.
No.
Okay.
So I think Pusha is in it. The other one, Enyonam, who is Dakia Pia, is in it. I think Sheikah is also in it.
Is it out?
It's been out. I think that was season 7 or so.
Really?
I started watching it when it first came out like a couple of years ago. And I find that, I think, maybe when we were younger, we were not noticing how cringe some of the acting was. We loved it. When I say loved it, we stay up to watch Things We Do for Love.
We were not exposed. We didn't have internet.
No,
now you have internet points. To compare things to, so and it's made their work harder.
So I found a little cringe, but I like that they've continued. Like, they're doing the good work. They're spreading, you know, sexual health and reproductive health awareness. They're doing well. I just wish that the quality would also improve alongside. But yeah, you can check it out.
So Jackie
Apia
is in it.
Jackie
Apia
is in it.
Oh,
I
that's
think
so cool.
Pusha had a thing back in the day.
In the show.
Yes.
I think
he liked Enyonam, but she was a rich girl,
man. That Mr.
Glagoji. Yes.
That man, everybody was afraid of him.
Not Bibi. Her brother's name was. He was friends with Pusha. Yes. The Arab boys thing. So it's like brother's best friend.
Yes. Brother's best friend romance.
Yes. The tropes are tripping.
So who was Sheikah's girl?
Marcia.
Yeah.
Marcia, who the actress died 2 years ago.
Yeah.
That's how I met Marcia once and she signed my shirt.
You told me.
Yeah.
Wow. Hey, Charlie.
Good times.
Walk down memory lane.
Right? So yes, your book is like One Tree Hill.
Hey, that's so cool, I enjoyed it.
Nice. What's it called again?
A Dash of Christmas Magic. Yeah.
Nice. By who?
It was by Shay Davis.
Shay Davis.
Cool. So, tell me about the 1,000 books you are currently reading.
Oh, where shall I start? I don't have that many. I just finished Alexis Diaries, A Lot Like Adios. I didn't love it. I don't know if I did.
As much as
the first one.
You had me a whole lot.
And then I started The Grumpy Billionaire by Anika Martin. Mm. It's book 7 in her billionaire series. I love this, the entire universe. Everybody's a billionaire. I'm here for it.
That's the kind of world you want.
That's the kind of world I want. Look, they're all billionaires. They all have some sort of connecting to each other. The girls also have some connecting to each other somehow. Either they're roommates, they're flatmates, they work together, they something. It's great. Or somebody's sisters. Look, I love the connections.
You know, when I hear you talk about books like this, I wish I could read as fast as you do, because I feel like this is why I'm not able to finish series.
Yeah.
I read the first one and then I fall off. Anyway.
I love series. I can read all 10 books in the series if it's like written well and I'm enjoying it. I can, like Carrie Elks has got me.
I saw she had some book B, but I realized it was published
a while ago.
Oh, I have to check and see if you haven't read it.
Okay.
I forgot to note down.
So I'm on The Grumpy. And then after that, I'm halfway through Just My Type by Fallon Ballard. Mm. It reminds me a little of The Rom-Con by Devin Daniels. The main characters are both writers. So as a magazine, a woman's magazine.
Mm.
And, you know, it seems nice. And a book, an author I liked, Annabelle Monaghan, that I talked about before, said she loved this book, Just My Type. And I've been seeing it for months. So I'm like, you know what, Annabelle is good. She likes it, I'll try it. So I'm halfway through there. I stopped that to read a rom-con, which is like it, but somehow I enjoy the rom-con more. So I'll keep giving it a chance. And then after that, there's a book that is not necessarily a romance that I'll be reading. Stop the Presses.
Hey,
I'm reading a non-specifically romance book.
Non-specific. How so, does that work?
It's a Reese Witherspoon book.
Book of the Month.
Mm-hmm.
Book club pick.
And I see that she's making a show based on it, and I like Reese Witherspoon's shows. Yes.
Yeah.
But I would have liked to have read the book before I watched the show, which is the only reason why I'm potentially.
Rather, sometimes I feel like if I read it too close, I might compare and end up being let down.
I will always compare. And then, so I reserve the right to be, you know, anxiously upset at the movie, like, miss this in the book. Like, that's the joy of being a reader, isn't it?
Oh, God.
Reading the book, watching the show, and poking holes and saying, ha, in the book, this happened. Ha, this happened. Ha. Like when I read Game of Thrones and then I was watching
I haven't read it still. I started reading it and I was like, no, let me finish the show.
The books are so much better.
Yeah, like just the first book is so intricate.
Yes.
It's so intricate.
And honestly, the show did a marvelous job. Such a good job trying to bring the books to life. And I think you have to admit that the books will always be better. Generally. They have more time, they have your attention longer. They can do more.
I feel like watching the show all over again.
I've been saying this for weeks. I think I will watch it all over again.
So we can't go somewhere
and just do all the things you want to do
and just watch the shows, read the books.
We can't have now. Let's make it.
Who will be our secret Santa? Who will be our secret Santa?
Please. Yeah, so I'll be reading that soon. Maybe next time by Cheska Major.
I see. So it's like women's fiction, eh?
I think it's
women's like fiction. The way she did what was it called?
Celeste. Little Fires Everywhere.
Little Fires Everywhere. Exactly. You can rewatch it.
Girl. Yeah.
No, Reese Witherspoon is one of my favorite actresses.
And I'm happy and that she started into this publishing and like filmmaking world. I think it was a couple of years ago.
But I think, you know, her parents are academics, I think. Like, she's from, like...
reading, writing background. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, you know, she was very open about her love of reading.
Okay.
I used to watch her interviews and stuff.
Well, then I love that she's managing to live her dream. Clearly, it's been her dream for time. Just take books I like and make films out of them, act in them. And now she's going to enable people to publish books.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's brilliant. Yeah. And that's a dream. It's always yeah. nice to have a dream and be able to live it out in the future. Yeah. And you haven't seen her old interviews, now you're seeing it
yeah.
materialize.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good for her. She's doing brilliantly. Mm-hmm. So if Ree says she likes it, often I will read it. That's how I came on 7 Days in June. You, I think I had seen it on her page, and then you also mentioned that you think we should read it. So like it was, you know, a compilation of the two.
I see. Yeah. Hmm. Interesting.
No. So that's how Reese is getting me to read Not Quite Romance. Congratulations.
Oh wow. Hmm. So.
Ooh, we've gone almost an hour. Good for us.
We are in the Christmas mode, so I believe next week we will share some of our favorite Christmas romances.
Yeah, and just generally books we read this year, our top
10
reads this year.
Yeah, our top 10 reads. I already know my top one. You know it.
The Christina Lauren book.
No.
So you see, you have top two. Wait, what's your top one?
It's okay. Sure. Don't say it.
Now I'll be consumed with the need to find it before you tell us.
Yeah, but hey, were we supposed to announce anything today? Eh? We didn't check our notes for this episode.
We just hopped right into it.
Yeah.
Good.
Well, if we remember anything, we'll probably post it on our Instagram or put it in the description or something.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas. I'll say this every episode this month,
every week until Christmas, until New Year.
Until New Year, exactly.
All right,
bye. Spiky.